All right. You know it's that time. All right. Y'all better get on in here. It's that time. I'm live. I'm letting this ride. All right. I'm just letting this one ride. What's up, y'all? Welcome to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in on today's broadcast. Today's show is brought to you by RecorderWatch.com. Are you dreading your company's annual holiday party? You're looking for a discreet solution that automates documentation of janky behavior at the job on the low? Y'all need to check out RecorderWatch.com and purchase the 8-gigabyte voice recorder today. Also, check out author Kay Bethany, who's the foundational Black American writer. She has a brand new memoir called Elementary, My Dear, that gives a bird eye view of how one FBA family managed to survive obstacles in the past. Check out the book on Apple, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can pre-order it now. Also, are you a fitness enthusiast looking for apparel that says not just you're fly, but you're going to be fly everything and everywhere you go? There's a clothing line that represents the holiness of the original man, woman, and child. This brand is called Wolves, and you can get it on Amazon, and it's spelled WOLV3S. And you can get this fitness line on Amazon.com. That's WOLV3S. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let everybody know that we're live right now. We're going to take another quick commercial break, but we'll be right back right here to Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Check out the website darkblack.me. That's a website where they train individuals on gun safety and marksmanship. As foundational Black Americans, we're getting closer to getting those tangibles, but the white supremacists are becoming more aggressive, so it's important that Black people protect themselves in these trying times. Go to the website darkblack.me and purchase the gun training and marksmanship instruction videos right now at darkblack.me.
Feed Your Soul Organic. Go to www.feedyoursoulorganic.com to order medicinal plants in the form of teas, powders, and oils. Enjoy fresh, revitalizing health products from the motherland. Available to you quickly because we ship from the USA. Operated by a foundational Black American, you can trust that you are receiving the very best of Africa. Purchase African coffee, noni, soursop, baobab powder, and so much more. Strengthen your immune system one day at a time. Feed Your Soul Organic. That's www.feedyoursoulorganic.com.
Check out a brand new website / message board called BlackCommunitySpeak.com. Black Community Speak is the place where Black men and women can get together to talk about issues that affect the entire community. Now, Black Community Speak is different from sites like Lipstick Alley and others because both Black men and women are equally welcome there to chop up game. So go there right now. Let everybody know what's on your mind at BlackCommunitySpeak.com. That's BlackCommunitySpeak.com.
If you are looking for an educational program to keep your children engaged and learning during the quarantine, order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that teaches kids math, science, language arts, financial literacy, and more. Download their content instantly at giftedandlit.com. Remember, that's giftedandlit.com.
Yo, guys, don't let COVID-19 keep you from achieving your health and your fitness goals, because your health is cut from the same cloth as your wealth, and you need to be the best version of yourself, and you can do that with Salomon's Gym products and services. Salomon offers custom online training made just for you, and he has ankle, thigh, and power bands that will help you tone your body and burn fat anywhere you choose to train. So go to SalomonsFitnessWorld.com, enter the coupon code Tariq, and save 10% on your order. That's SalomonsFitnessWorld.com.
Dear white supremacy, you're pure evil, hiding behind politicians and those thugs with badges. I'm Reverend Occam Jeffers, a counter-racist hitman, a black assassin you cowards can't conquer. But you discovered my one weakness. She's beauty and black, but she's a cop. Now my heart races. Is she a cop first, or is she black first? War of the Heart, available worldwide December 1st. Visit spiritof1811publishing.com.
Are you looking for a 100% natural beard product that cleans the skin under your beard and it stimulates growth? Then check out Beard Tree Oil and Herbs LLC. They promote healthy beards over everything. They offer a full line of products including beard and face wash, balm, oil, mist, and detox. So treat yourself to the Beard Tree 3 package, which includes the wash, balm, oil for just $25. For best results, check out the Beard Tree 5 that includes all 5 products for just $50. So check this out all at BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com. That's BeardTreeOilAndHerbs.com, or follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Beard Tree Oils and Herbs. Check out a brand new book by author Jay Babilaw entitled Black Serviceman to Black Veteran. This book, author Jay Babilaw delivers an immersive and intelligent read about his personal experiences in and after the military, and he talks about how these experiences shaped his outlook on life forever. This personal novel reads much like a self-help guide, but it's a very deep book, and you need to check it out. It's called Black Serviceman to Black Veteran, available right now on Amazon.com.
If you enjoy luxurious home fragrances, check out Scented Company. Our 100% natural candles are made of pure soy wax and essential oils to create aromatherapy-inspired fragrances that can help with insomnia, stress, energy, and hormone imbalances. Take our scent quiz today. Find us at our website, scented.company. That's scented, scented.company. We are live and lit.
Hey, Fit So Flawless, what's new? If you are looking for the hottest fashions such as dresses, jumpsuits, and casual pants, then stop on by now to fitsoflawless.com. We also have accessories that are available to complement any outfit. So come find your fit at our online store, fitsoflawless.com.
Tune in to the Jamil Harley Morning Show every Saturday, 9:30 a.m. with your hosts, Jamil Harley, Kiana Quarles, and DJ Godzillas. Search Jamil Harley on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Periscope.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave a little blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, guys. We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Welcome back to Tariq Radio, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys are having a great week already. An after Thanksgiving week. Everybody's going back to work and going back to doing what they have to do. I hope everybody has gone to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 through 5, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope you have gone to OfficialFBA.com to get your Foundational Black American flags and all that good stuff. And by the way, hopefully before the Christmas Kwanzaa holidays, we will have the Foundation of Black American bandanas, guys. We're getting some bandanas made, and they're going to be fly. So you can just rock your flag everywhere you go. You can rock it as an accessory, ladies and gentlemen. We're making it do what it do. But anyway, let's get into some of the things we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. A little later, we're going to talk about the True Restaurant situation. We're going to get on that in a second. I might even take some calls later. It depends on how long the show is going to run, but we'll see. We'll play it by ear. Before I get into the main topic, and by the way, I need everybody to hit that thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button and hit that like button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit the thumbs up button. And hit the like button if you have not hit the like button and the thumbs up button already. And the subscribe button. Everybody subscribe to the broadcast because sometimes they unsubscribe people. So resubscribe right now. What's going on in the news? I wanted to touch on this. I saw a story that came out today in the mainstream media. It says black and brown communities should get first dibs on coronavirus vaccine, minority leaders said. So out there in Chicago, they got the bootlick class. They got the Sambos, the old decrepit Sambo Negroes out here. So Pastor John Harrell and a couple of other quote unquote pastors running around here trying to say we in the black community want first dibs on the corona vaccine. And nobody trusts this. This already stinks to high hell. This smells like guinea pigism. This is why so many people are skeptical. The more they push their Negroes out, guys, the Negro bootlicks, the plantation flunkies to try to convince us to take these vaccines, the more I'm suspicious and the more we should all be suspicious. If, let me tell you something, if they want guinea pigs, get all your bootlicks to take it first. If it's so important that black folks take it, let the bootlick Sambo class take it first. Let them do it. Let them all line up, get Simone Sanders and Tarana Burke and Rowley and all of those. Get all of them to do it. Let them do it on TV. And then we'll wait and see what the reaction is, and then we'll holler back at you. But family, we don't trust this stuff. Family, y'all better understand how the game works, man, and who's behind this stuff. And again, like I said on my Sunday's broadcast, you got to watch your words when you criticize anything about vaccines and the people behind them. You got to watch your words. But I want y'all to understand what we see going on now, it is not new. When you see, I want y'all to look for certain names when y'all see this thing where they're trying to push black folks to be the guinea pigs for these vaccines. You'll see the Rockefeller Foundation name pop up all over the place. Even on the Rockefeller Foundation site, they're talking about aggressively going out here in the streets with the COVID vaccine. So you better understand a lot of this stuff has the Rockefeller Foundation behind it. And also the name we don't speak of, he's connected heavily with the Rockefeller Foundation. But we have to look at how history repeats itself. We immediately look at this situation and think Tuskegee, because they were doing the same thing in Tuskegee. They went to black people talking about, hey, man, there's a lot of stuff going around. There's a lot of bad blood going around. The CDC was behind that stuff. The U.S. Public Health Service was behind that. But the CDC, remember, when you see or hear CDC, that's Rockefeller, okay? When you hear certain names, it's Rockefeller. It's like a very small handful of people behind it, okay? It has multiple names, and I talked about this on my show the other night, how they had to stop the Rockefeller family from running all of these monopolies. So basically, they just made them rename their shit. All they did was break up their businesses and just rename them. So it was just same people running the same businesses under different names. It's like that with the medical field and a lot of these pharmaceutical companies. It's really the Rockefellers running a lot of this stuff. The Rockefellers run the CDC. They control that, control the media outlets. They control the pharmaceutical companies. They control a lot of this stuff. So we need to know who's doing what and understand history. Let's put this in the context of history. And by the way, speaking of Tuskegee, you know, one of the doctors who was involved in Tuskegee, John Charles Cutler, look his name up. He was involved in all types of experiments, prison experiments. He did the Tuskegee experiment. He was one of the Rockefeller's Du Bois. He was the Fauci of the time back 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s. He was the Fauci of the time. I think at one point, he became the assistant surgeon general or something like that. It was some kind of big time job position he had. I can't think of it offhand, but look up John Charles Cutler. He was the Du Bois of the Rockefellers. And he was all, they were all out there in Guatemala with that syphilis stuff. There's lawsuits right now. And I want y'all to go, everything I'm saying, I want y'all to Google what I'm saying. So nobody will say it's a conspiracy theory or anything. Because a lot of people like to throw conspiracy theory at people. Y'all go look this up now. John Charles Cutler, he was part of the Tuskegee experiment, the Terre Haute prison experiments, the Guatemala syphilis experiments, where the people in Guatemala, there's a class action lawsuit right now against the Rockefeller Foundation and some of those pharmaceutical companies. John Hopkins, there's a lawsuit now for $1 billion, a class action suit. Google all this stuff I'm saying, family. These folks got active lawsuits and they're trying to still push some vaccines on us. And we ain't supposed to question anything, guys. But family, let's look at, again, we got to look at some of these people and look at their backgrounds, man. When we talk about the Rockefellers, people like that, look at who the Rockefellers are. At one point, John Rockefeller was the richest man in the world. I think he was the world's first billionaire. So Rockefeller has his hand in the family. When I say Rockefeller now, I'm talking about the whole family empire. You know, they have their hand in everything. But go back. Who are the Rockefellers? Where did they come from? It goes back to their dad, William Rockefeller Sr. That's John D. Rockefeller's dad. William Rockefeller Sr., who was the patriarch of the original patriarch of the family. You know how he got started? William Rockefeller Sr. got started as a professional con man. These are not my words. This is what the media said about him during his lifetime. William Rockefeller Sr. was a professional con man and a rapist. He actually raped a chick at gunpoint and he had to leave town and he was bouncing all over the country. So this was a big time criminal dude. And a scam artist and a literal snake oil salesman. One part of his scam was he used to go around pretending to be a doctor. And he would go around from city to city selling fake medicine. He would sell berries. He would go pick some berries somewhere and tell them it was some magic berries that would cure cancer. He would get oil and claim that it would heal every type of disease. And he would go to cities, slang this fake bogus snake oil and rock oil, and then bounce the very next day. This was this man. This is the Rockefellers family. This is how they came up. And this is what the Rockefellers were taught as children. They saw their father running around. He was a bigamist. He had multiple women he was married to illegally. He was into all types of stuff. He showed them hey, life ain't fair. You don't play fair. Ain't no rules. You make the rules as you go along. Get it how you live. If you got to be cutthroat, then you got to be cutthroat. But this dude, and a lot of people were doing this at the time, by the way, the snake oil salesman. You know, a lot of people hear that term snake oil salesman and don't know what it really means. But those who don't know, snake oil, that was a con that they had. They would say that Aboriginal people or Native people had this oil that you could take and it would cure everything. And it was just bogus oil. It was just regular mineral oil or petroleum. And they would go around selling it. And one thing some of the people would do, they would spike it with cocaine. Some of them got kind of clever and they started spiking this fake oil with cocaine or opium. And they would sell it to people telling them that this is going to heal them and you're going to feel a hell of a lot better when you take this natural oil. Well, people felt a hell of a lot better. They were strung the hell out. And this was kind of common, not just in the snake oil salesmen, but a lot of early corporations that we see now, a lot of them, a lot of the pharmaceutical companies back then, or the upstarts of the pharmaceutical companies, they would do the same thing. They would just put either cocaine or opium in their products and get people strung out. Hell, Coca-Cola did that. Do y'all know that's what the Coca, that's what the Coke stands for in Coca-Cola? A lot of folks don't know. Coca-Cola used to put cocaine in the soda and people were addicted to it. At one point they had to stop doing that, not because of moral reasons, but because they had to learn how to regulate drugs so that other people wouldn't be out here making all this money off the dope. But they used to put cocaine in Coca-Cola and a whole bunch of stuff and a whole bunch of this snake oil to get people strung out. And the problem was too many folks were making money doing that. So they had to centralize the con game. See, that's when the John Rockefellers, they had to put their thinking caps on. They like, well, forget about the moral aspect of it. Now, how can we centralize this? Hold on, let's centralize this. So let me do this. And I'm talking like John Rockefeller. Let me get the chemical, I got the chemical companies on lock. I got the oil companies on lock. So what I need to do to get the raw materials for the drugs and for the chemicals and for all this other stuff, I need to get the agriculture game on lock. So, you know, you had people like these robber barons, the Carnegies, who's in line with the Rockefellers. What they would do, because people knew that they were on some scam stuff. People knew that they were robber barons, so they had to clean their images up. So they had to become philanthropists in the media. They had to donate money to certain things. They would donate $1 million to one company or one group or something, but they're going to make $1 billion on the back end of it. So they had to learn how to really get their PR game in order. So they learn how to monopolize industries. They learn how to monopolize the medical industry, the chemical industry, the oil industry, and the agriculture industry. This is why they would donate money to all of these schools in the north. They controlled all the factories because of the oil, the railroads, and all that stuff. And all the coal and all the raw materials came from down south. Okay? This was kind of part of the reason of why the Civil War happened, because the South was like, well, hell, why do we have all the textile companies up in the North? We got the raw materials here. We can get the textile companies down here and just tell y'all to kiss our asses. So that was really part of the whole Civil War fight. No, they were like, no, we're going to keep the factories up here just so y'all don't get a monopoly on the game. See, it was a rush to monopolize the game. The North eventually monopolized the game, by the way. They just didn't want the South to monopolize. They knew once if the South started getting major factories down South, it was over. So the North just beat them to the monopoly. So the North, they had the Civil War. They maintained all of the factories in the North. And what a lot of those big money philanthropists did, or robber barons, I won't call them philanthropists, what they started to do, you see, they started to fund all of these black schools. They said, we can keep the Negroes down South. We can give money to the Negro schools. It'll make us look like we're good and charitable people. And since black people know agriculture because they were enslaved and they're sharecroppers, we can have these black colleges focus on agriculture and mechanical studies. That's why so many HBCUs are called A&M, agricultural and mechanical. That's what A&M stands for. Florida A&M, Texas A&M, all of these A&M schools all over the place. And then they got their guy. They put money behind Booker T. Washington. They created a black leader and had him put his name on a lot of schools in the South to keep black folks down South. And he gave a very famous speech, "Cast Down Your Buckets Where You Are," where he was telling black people, don't move to the North, stay down South, and we can work these agriculture jobs. And again, what they would do, they would have these black folks doing the agriculture and sending the raw materials up North. This is why Henry Ford, his guy, was George Washington Carver down there at Tuskegee. That was Henry Ford's guy. George Washington Carver coming up with all of these things with the soybean that was used for plastic that they would use in those factories. You understand? So I'm just giving you the game on how they think, how they monopolize certain things. Nothing has changed. These people are very shrewd and they play chess with the game. So we got to see how they operate. So the Rockefellers and all these people, they funded not only black schools, they also funded eugenics. Rockefeller was a major funder of the eugenics program. Okay? A lot of folks, y'all better know that. Even though he was putting up HBCUs, hell, Spelman is named after his wife. Laura Rockefeller's maiden name was Spelman, and they named the school after her. So y'all better watch all that skinning and grinning while y'all skinning and grinning like, oh, thank you, Miss Laura. They're up there putting more money in a eugenics program. All right, we'll send you to school, but we're also going to figure out a way to wipe some of y'all out. So we better understand the game and how the game is played out here and how the medical game is played. And how they've used black folks as guinea pigs. When they smiling in your face telling you, hey, black folks, we don't do nothing for you, but suddenly we care about your well-being and you need to get first dibs on this brand new vaccine that has never been tested on anybody that we just created. You see? And it's almost like there's veiled threats being put out there. These veiled, low-key threats, like, it's almost like, hey, you know, we don't want to have to get the military to go out here in the streets and get these vaccines going. Now, that would be bad. You know, they keep putting little stuff out there, you know, threats, but not threats. So we got to watch the game. And we got to be hella on code with these folks out here. Because as we look, the medical industry, it's a con game already. When you look at the medical industry, and like I said on my broadcast the other day, when Rockefeller and these guys started to take over the medical industry, he controlled the state boards where you could get a license. They made sure that if you didn't practice the medical field where you're putting your patients on these pharmaceutical drugs, you couldn't get your license. All the naturopathic doctors, they had to get rid of them. And the American Medical Association, they don't have any natural doctors in that. None. To this day, there are no natural medicine doctors in the American Medical Association, family. That's not a coincidence. They created it to get rid of them. They got them out of there. And when Rockefeller and those guys started to take over the medical industry and started to get everybody hooked on the synthetic drugs based off his chemicals, again, he controlled the oil industry, so he used some of those petrochemicals from his oil for medicine. A lot of medicine are made with petrochemicals, so he got a monopoly on the game. And anybody practicing natural medicine, no, that was a no-no. So instead of giving somebody an herb that would cure them, he had his scientists find out what the ingredient was in the herb so they can take it out and synthesize it. and use the synthetic cure from that herb to help you out, but it's wrapped around all of these other chemicals. So now, if you have, let's say, a liver disease, and they found a synthetic cure based on an herb for the liver disease, you will take that synthetic chemical-based medicine and it would cure the liver, but those side effects is going to give you a whole bunch of other diseases that you're going to have to go to the doctor for. That's all by design. That's why when you see these commercials talking about medicine, they got people running around here on jet skis and walking their dog. If you got anal itching, that shouldn't stop you from being whatever you want to be. You know, got people dancing in the club and people at picnics and people on boats. Anal warts is a pain that a lot of people, it's kind of hard to tolerate. But if you use our new pill, that'll stop anal itching and anal warts for up to 5 years. Side effects include vomiting, diarrhea, cancer, penis, erectile dysfunction. I mean, all the side effects, they say those real fast. They say the side effects hella fast. And once you keep taking those pills, you're going to have to take some more pills for those side effects. That's by design, guys. Because they treat the medical industry like a big-ass trap house. It's a big trap house, guys. Family, you know, the doctors can't really tell you that they've cured you of anything. You know that? They can't tell you they've cured you of any kind of disease or illness. They can't tell you that. I'm not talking about like if you broke a bone. Like if you broke a bone, they can heal a broken bone. It's either healed or not healed. But as far as diseases, notice, guys, doctors never actually heal or cure diseases, nor can they tell you they cured it. Notice when you go to the doctor for some kind of illness or sickness, usually you end up getting put on medication for the rest of your life. Anybody who has gone to the doctor for anything, you know what I'm talking about. You still have a prescription that you have been given for the rest of your life. They tell you, you have to take this forever, no matter what it is. That's part of the game. That is part of the game, guys. The name of the game is to never cure you. It's to treat and to maintain. You understand? And they got my ass because I had, you know, hereditary gout. That's some shit that you get passed down from your family where uric acid builds up in your joints. My father has it. So I got it from him, and you had to take certain medicine for it. But then I started taking the damn gout medicine and it controlled the gout. But then it brought my damn heart pressure. My heart pressure got high. So then I had to take stuff for the damn high blood pressure. So I had to wean myself off some of this stuff. And then when you have people sitting here or telling you, hey, you can take some natural stuff where you ain't gonna get no side effects. When people like that come out and they get prominent, they start disappearing. Do you know how many natural doctors, natural herb doctors have died or end up missing? It ain't just Dr. Sebi. Dr. Sebi was just the most obvious, but for years, natural doctors, man, they've been raided. I mean, the alphabet boys then ran up in folks' houses and businesses like they in there with kilos of cocaine and people in there with leaves and herbs. You understand? Running up in there, the ATF running in there like it's a trap house. And a lot of natural doctors have ended up missing, killed, mysteriously dead. It's a real game out here because it's a dope game, dude. The medical industry is run like a dope game. So you don't ever put your trust 100% in none of this stuff. If you can find a cool herbalist, my dude Tahuti, I recommend him. You dig? Queen of Four out there in New York. I recommend her. There's some good folks out there, man. Find you. Yeah, Dr. Layla Africa. Yeah, he just died. And, you know, people like that. He has a lot of books. He left a lot of game behind that you can get. So y'all follow some of our brothers and sisters like that. Because this thing is real out here, man. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get into what we're talking about. The main thing about what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the situation that happened down in Dallas. And everybody hit the thumbs up button. We got like 7,000 people in here almost. Hit that thumbs up button, guys. Guys, down in Texas, situation happened at a restaurant called True Kitchen. It's a black-owned restaurant. A pretty decent brother owns this restaurant. I think the brother is a lawyer. So the brother's trying to create somewhat of an upscale place where black folks can come and chill and enjoy themselves and chop it up. And there was a situation at his restaurant this weekend where some ratchets came in. It was a packed brunch. I think it was a brunch. Nice crowd in there, and a couple of ratchets, a table of ratchets came in there twerking. And the brother, first he politely went to the table and said, you know, hey, can y'all kind of chill out with that? You know, I don't want that type of thing popping off in my restaurant. So he politely talked to them at first, and then about 10 minutes later, because there was music playing and they had a DJ in there. It's a cool festive, not a festive atmosphere, but it's, you get to hear good music and you get to chill and eat. And after the brother politely told them to chill out with the twerking, they got up and start twerking again. And one of the hood rats was twerking on, she was leaning up against the glass. There was a glass little partition in there that she was leaning up on. So the brother kind of snapped a little bit and kind of checked the whole restaurant, because, you know, at one point the hood rats was twerking and then people was like, hey, hey, hey. So I think that was the reason why he just addressed the whole restaurant like, hey, we're not going to have that type of thing. So let me play the clip. A lot of people had mixed feelings about how this brother went about it. Some people said that the brother, he shouldn't have, you know, been cursing. Some people said that he was too abrasive. Some people felt a certain way about it. Some people felt a certain way about it. Hold on, let me find it. Okay, where? I had it on my page. Okay, some people felt a certain way about this, but let me play if I can find it. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Now, this is the brother talking to the people. Hold on.
Buying this building into developing this concept so black people can have somewhere nice to go to, okay? Somewhere where we can feel good about ourselves as a, come on, stop the music, please. Somewhere where our people can feel good about ourselves as a culture, okay? Yeah. No, real talk. And so all this twerking and shit, take it to Prime, take it to Pink, don't bring it here because we're a restaurant. And so beyond that, 75% of my customers are ladies. And I'm on men to show respect for themselves, for how they carry themselves here. So how can I tell the men to respect themselves? And you guys are twerking on glass here. If you want to do it, get the fuck out of my restaurant. Because I did it for our people and I did it for our culture. So don't do it. Now, don't do it again. I don't want to hear it. If you don't like it, get out, because I don't need your money. I need to provide something for my people. And don't do it again. Thank you.
And boy, man, Slay Play Twitter had a fit. Boy, they did not like that. Oh, Slay Play Twitter did not like the fact that that brother G-checked everybody. Oh, they had a problem with that. Now, some people say that he shouldn't have cursed, he shouldn't have did this. You know, I'll excuse the cursing. Personally, excuse me. Like I said, this brother politely tried to tell the ratchets, don't do that. They did it again out of disrespect. So he said, okay, instead of me being a male Karen and doing what white people would do, which is call the police on your dumb ass, let me just holler at you on some real G shit right now. And that was the approach. Sometimes you just gotta put it on out there and just be raw with it. And that's where he was coming from. Like, okay, I said what I mean and I mean what I say. The polite thing don't work, so I'm just going to tell you what it is like this. So instead of calling the cops, I can just call the cops on you and have you pulled out, but I don't want to do that. This is a place where we can come and try to enjoy ourselves. Don't bring that ratchetness up in here. And I agree with the brother. Because number one, this ratchet was on twerking on glass. Family, they're all standing on the man's furniture in this place, standing on the chairs and sofa, leaning on glass. If that glass were to break, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. If something happens in a packed restaurant and they're jumping around like fucking fools and some other customer gets hurt, this brother's liable. The hood rats they have nothing to lose. And that's the thing. We got to get this thing out of our community where these folks who feel like I have nothing to lose, so I can go into other progressive black people's establishments and just sabotage their shit. Because it ain't going to be, nothing is going to happen to me. That's that plantation mentality. And he checked him on that, as he should. Family, I'm looking at the folks who were defending the hood rats. Because we saw a lot of Shea Butter Twitter running around talking about, look how he talking to black women. He talking to black women like that. Family, please stop making ratchets and hood rats the representatives for black women. That's some sucker shit. It sounds like white supremacy. That's some wannabe white supremacist shit. Y'all get the lowest common denominator and try to make that the norm. Hood rats and ratchets are not the representatives of black women. I despise people who do that. Now, most of the women in that restaurant were chilling. It was a restaurant full of sisters. The sisters were in there chilling. It was just that one particular table. But notice it's always the shea butter, moist Negro crowd, these Negroes who work at these white corporations talking that dumb nonsense. Ratchets are not the representatives of sisters. White society loves to elevate the ratchets and make them the representatives of sisters. They are not. And sisters, more you progressive sisters, y'all gonna have to start calling that stuff out too. Because y'all see a lot of stuff that goes on and y'all just be like, you know, you just kind of shake your head. Y'all better distance yourself from some of that stuff. You see? Because see, black men, for the most part, we distance ourselves from dustiness. Like if a dude is dusty and he's doing dusty behavior, we'll call that out. Like that nigga over there is dusty. He ain't got all the shit he doing ain't got nothing to do with me. If a nigga out here just shooting up random people, that ain't got nothing to do with me. That's that dusty ass nigga. He's not my representative. We black men, we distance ourselves from dusty fuckboy stuff. Quickly. And people know not to make that dusty Negro the representative of us. Nobody says, if you criticize a dusty nigga, oh, you're the black man, you criticizing, why you doing the black man like that? No, that's just a dusty Negro you criticizing. He's going to have to own his dustiness. But what happens when we have these bedwinches and these mammies and these ratchets out here doing things and people call them out, they themselves try to hide behind all black women. Oh, why you hating on me? I's the black woman. I's just like Coretta Scott King. No, you're not. We got to get off this thing where these ratchets, when they get called out, they want to start acting like they're Claire Huxtable or some shit. No, you're not the representative of sisters. And this is a plantation mentality that's going to have to be alleviated. Because the thing is, those ratchets would not go into a white establishment and do that. Not in a restaurant where people are just sitting down eating. I'm not talking about a bar at night where it's a club where everybody's dancing or something like that. You weren't not going to go into Olive Garden dancing on no damn tables. You're not going to go into Applebee's dancing and twerking on tables while everybody's sitting around eating. Why? Because they'll call the police on your ass and they'll come and batter you in your skull. You understand? You will not do that in white establishments because you know better. See, we got this thing where black folks know how to act when you get around white folks because white folks know how to punish you. They don't play no games. Asian people know how to punish you. But now when you get around black folks trying to do something progressive, you're like, well, damn, this nigga ain't got no protection. He's in the same boat as me. So now I can act a damn fool because ain't white daddy can't come in and check and regulate me now. So now I can really act a fool now. That brother should not have had to check them on that nonsense. They did it for the sole purpose of being disrespectful. And then when I see people online talking about, we going to cancel him, that restaurant going to get canceled. Don't nobody need to go up there. He telling people they can't twerk. You'll cancel a black man who's saying, hey, don't dance on my furniture. Don't lean on my glass in my new restaurant where you might break the glass. I created this so we can chill. If you want to twerk, you can go somewhere else and twerk. See, you'll cancel him, but you won't cancel the Asian man at the nail shop or the beauty supply store who done did some Tai Chi and kick you all in your throat and your stomach because you were talking too loud in his store. He done kick you all up in your back and they done double team your ass and beat you with brooms and mops and you go there the next day to get your toes done. You don't cancel them. But the brother just wants you to respect his furniture at least. Damn. And now he got to be canceled. We got to get that mentality out of our community, guys. We got to get that mentality out of our damn community. And what's interesting, all this damn twerking, this is plantation behavior. And a lot of people are really mad at the fact that the brother, it was a black man who G-checked everybody. See, that's a problem. They don't like the fact if a black man exerts power, people feel a certain, the plantation-minded people feel a certain way about that. Because remember, a lot of Negroes still have a plantation mentality, and what they want are plantation rights. When they get around other black people, what they want to do, they want to have plantation rights, meaning I get to act a damn fool and do anything I want to do without being checked. See, that's what happened on the plantation. See, the mammies and the Jezebels got to run around and they got a little more leniency on the plantation. Because, see, they provided sexual favors or sexual exploitation. They were sexually exploited. I won't say sexual favors, but they were sexually exploited. So they got a little more leeway to kind of run around the plantation where the black men didn't get any. You didn't get no leeway. You were in check all the time. And most of the buck breaking on the plantations was done by the mammies. It was the mammies doing the buck breaking because it was the mammies' job to keep order in the plantation and the slave quarters. You see? The mammy and the auntie, it was their job to go in and make sure the kids weren't sassing white folks. The black man, they had to go and be the buffer for the black man to make sure that he don't get too uppity. Because they know if a black man gets too uppity, he's going to start rebelling. And then that means everybody's going to either have to rebel or you're going to get whipped. So Mammy didn't want to get off that plantation. So anytime a black man wanted to get a little, stick his chest out a little bit, the mammy had to come and browbeat him down a little bit. Get that sign of freedom out your eyes now. You's got freedom in your heart. Get that out your heart and get out there and pitch that cotton for massa see you. Yeah, it was that type of thing. Don't you stick your chest out talking. You's gonna get us all in trouble. So if a black man showed any kind of real masculinity, if a black man stood up for himself, see, that was a bad sign. That was a sign of possible freedom. That brother's going to start looking at freedom. And then that means everybody else is going to have to get on the freedom train. See, we got to understand that plantation mentality is prevalent right now. Look at all the people. Now that we have the Biden, Kamala Harris con game in office right now, that's going to be in office. Look at all the Negro buffers that's going to be surrounding them now. This is a problem. we're going to have to deal with all of the Negro ass-kissing buffer class folks now. The whole Boule buffer class asking, we're going to have to deal with them. And they are already coming out the woodworks protecting Kamami and Biden. The next 4 years, we're going to be, it's going to be a civil war in black society in the next 4 years, guys. These Negroes are out here whining about how they ain't getting campaign jobs or job positions or cabinet positions. These Negroes are clamoring to get jobs at the White House or jobs with this administration. These Negroes are whining publicly about how they ain't getting their calls sent back. They're not getting their calls answered. They're not getting the job positions they wanted. These Negroes will sell all of us out just to get in the big house, guys. So it's going to be a civil war in the next 4 years. See, that's why I didn't mind Trump. We're just dealing with the white supremacists. That's not a problem. Now, we got to deal with the white supremacists and the plantation minions who are trying to fight for plantation rights. You understand? We got to fight with the Simone Sanders. Remember, Simone Sanders was physically fighting people protecting Biden. Y'all remember that video when somebody tried to run up on stage with Biden? Simone Sanders' big back ass ran and tackled them. I mean, these folks will fight for Massa, dude. These folks are not no joke with this plantation mentality. But the thing is, with people who want plantation rights, they don't like an authoritative black man. That's a bad sign because that's going to be infectious. That's going to have other black men thinking and talking with authority. And thinking about being independent and not dependent upon white society, that becomes infectious. And then a lot of people start doing it. So they kind of, the plantation mammies have to come in and kind of bring the Negro male down a peg. Yeah, I know this is your establishment, but I'm going to still try to disrespect you. And they hate when they get checked by a black man in particular. Remember when I had to fire one of my co-hosts? Boy, a lot of the mammies and the plantation minions online were very pissed off because I had to fire somebody who was being insubordinate. And I fired them on air. So they felt a certain way about that. They didn't like that. You couldn't do anything about it. They hate the fact that they couldn't go tell a white daddy. See, a lot of them like to be that mammy plantation buffer between the black community and white daddy because they know there's a lot of perks in that. There's a lot of perks being that buffer negress or that Negro. You get perks for protecting white daddy. So when you have a wild runaway Negro who you can't tell white daddy on. Hold on. Sorry, guys. So when you have a wild independent Negro that you cannot tell daddy on, that's a problem. You can't tell white daddy on certain folks. That is a problem. Shout out to everybody hitting the Cash App, by the way. The Cash App is $KingFlex818. That is the Cash App, $KingFlex818. But what's interesting, whenever a black man shows or exerts any type of power or authority, the mammies and white daddy and the bedbugs all get on cold with each other. All the moist dudes were complaining, talking about, he was in there slut shaming. He in there slut shaming them black women. They can twerk if they want to. It's the plantation rights. I just want to get out here and twerk just because I can, just because it's your spot and you can't do anything about it. But he did something about it. He checked their asses. All of this twerking, there's nothing even sexual about it no more. It's really a surrender tactic. This twerking all over the damn place, it's a sign of submission. It's real corny right now. Every time we see these ratchets, you got your ass tooted up. And the problem is this, family. There is not a place that's inappropriate to twerk anymore. Name a place where it is inappropriate for ratchets to be out there twerking. No place is deemed inappropriate anymore. Not one place. If you name anything or any place that's inappropriate, I can show you a video of a ratchet twerking there. They've made it so that no place is inappropriate. You can twerk anywhere. You want the plantation rights to twerk anywhere. An NBA game with family, Lizzo's big musty ass out there twerking with her wide flat ass, embarrassing everybody. There's people, I've seen videos of people twerking at funerals, twerking on caskets. You go to protest about people getting killed by police, they're twerking in front of the police. Nothing is sacred. It's like the mammies and plantation minions are marking their territory when they go to these places. Look, white daddy, look, massa, I'm surrendering. I'm twerking in a restaurant. I'm twerking at church. I'm twerking in the hospital. Making a damn fool of yourself. See, we got to get this thing where we're the gutter people. Anytime there's a lot of black folks, it's gutter time. And they felt like they can disrespect that man's restaurant. Oh, it's black, so I can go in here and act any kind of way because it's black owned and I can just go ahead and show out. That's a cancer type of mentality that has to be eradicated from our goddamn community, man. That is not cool at all. It's seeped, number one, in jealousy, and it's also seeped in, hey, let's bring the Negroes down a peg, because if they're successful, that's going to breed more success in the community, then that's going to make me have to step up. And I like just going to work for Massa every damn day and shaking a little ass, being the plantation Jezebel whore. Now, they interviewed the brother who owned the restaurant on TMZ. Now listen to Harvey Levin and those guys. They kept bringing up and trying to defend the twerking. And the brother, he defended himself very well on this show, by the way. The brother was very good at defending himself. But listen to Harvey Levin. And remember, Harvey Levin and these guys, they put some of the most negative images of black people on TMZ. You understand? But the brother did a good job explaining himself. Hold on, let me find the clip real quickly, guys. Hold on, here it is. So this is him on TMZ. Hold on 1 second. Let me see the, hold on, here it is.
You had music playing in there. There was a festive atmosphere. What is the, you know, it seems like you have a particular problem with twerking. At least that's the way I read it. Tell us about that.
No, he doesn't. But look how Harvey tried to word that. Hold on.
Let me explain. First of all, I don't have a particular problem with twerking. At our restaurant, you're always going to hear music because we want to make sure that it's a constant positive vibe for our guests. One of the things that we don't want, though, is we don't want guests standing up in their seats, grabbing glass and twerking on glass. You know, for those who like twerking, we don't have a problem with it. There's lots of nightclubs people do it at. They do it in their home. But at our restaurant, we want to be mindful of that. Our restaurant is one where my mother eats at, my grandmother eats there. My sons work there, and we want to make sure we keep a good environment. And so I'm not here to make any indictment on people who twerk because it gives people a good time, but that's just not something that I can have in my restaurant. One of the most undervalued people in this world, or probably the most undervalued, is black women. And I'm very mindful of how they look and how they appear. And we have so many classy and nice black women that come to this restaurant that define what True Kitchen and Cocktails is. And the actions of the women standing on the sofa and pushing on the glass twerking is not that. And so when we talk about advancing the culture, I'm mindful of how we all look as people. And that's why I apologize for using the F word, but that's also why I'm very, very steadfast in making sure that our guests carry themselves in the right way at this restaurant.
But it does then sound like your issue is with twerking.
He's still bringing the shit about some damn twerking. Harvey, boy, he's a real piece of work. The man just clearly explained what it was about. But Harvey's trying to defend the ratchet behavior. White society does that. They love defending ratchet shit among black society. And this is them letting other black folks know, hey, if you go do some ratchetness, we'll support you as white people.
It sounds like you don't think twerking is the proper way of presenting the culture. I mean, that's what I'm hearing.
Kevin, the word you used was classy.
I'm not saying it's not the proper way to present the culture when you're dancing and having a good time at a club, but I am saying it's an improper way to present our culture in my restaurant.
Boom. Good answer, man. Real good brother, man. If you're in Dallas, go support that brother and support his restaurant. The food looks very good there, by the way. The food looks very good there. And another thing, guys, another thing that's very interesting. One of the women who was up here twerking, you know, it was one of these fours. Look, they could easily have gone to a strip. If you want to twerk, you could have went to a strip joint. If you wanted to twerk, you could have went to a regular club somewhere. But no, they don't want to do that. Why? Because number one, at a strip club, you got to compete with other fine women. So you, the woman who was twerking, she's a big stocky ass, big back chick. So, you know, this was her way to get shine. The only way she can get shine is an ambush twerk. You know, we got these people who are attention deprived. She can't get attention nowhere else. You know, she can't get attention at a strip club. You can't get attention at a regular club. You go to a regular club, ain't nobody gonna look at you because there's, again, other fine women in there dancing, so they ain't gonna look at you in a regular club. So you got to go somewhere else where black folks are doing some normal things like eating or doing some non-club activities, so then you can stand your big Carl Winslow built ass up and start twerking on glass, about to break this man's glass. Then you think that's cool to do that. You see, a lot of folks like to come around black folks when we're doing something, again, when we're doing something normal, when we're trying to do something and just kind of chill and relax and do our thing. Who says, okay, I'm getting a delivery right now. Hold on 1 second. I'm looking out my door. Hold on 1 second. I'm getting an Amazon delivery while I'm talking. You know, people ran up on my house with a flashlight. Hold on. I'm looking at the Amazon guy. Okay. Sorry about that, guys. If somebody came through my house, I'm looking out my window, and there's somebody walking outside with a flashlight. I'm like, do I need to go get that thing? And I see he has an Amazon box. All right, there you go. It's about to get heavy out here. But like I said, a lot of these folks, man, the only way they can get attention is by ambushing black folks. They get around black folks doing that garbage. Black folks who are not in a club atmosphere. It's like, I'm so desperate for some damn attention. And because I have a plantation mentality, I have plantation rights. I have the plantation rights to drop it like it's hot right here at this black-owned establishment where everybody's sitting up here with their families chilling, trying to eat a decent brunch. We have to get that plantation mentality up out of here. Now, let me get a couple of calls before I get out of here, guys. Because somebody already called. Let me give y'all the number. The number is 818-850-5404. We'll take a couple of calls. And again, a lot of folks are asking about the Cash App. The Cash App is $KingFlex818. That is the Cash App. $KingFlex818, ladies and gentlemen. So let's get a couple of calls here. 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. 818-850-5404. Let's get a couple of calls in. Let me chop it up with the family. Let me see who we got here. Hold on 1 second. The phones are ringing. Let's see. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
Hey, King Flex. How you doing? This is Jimmy from D.C.
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing, man? What's on your mind?
Everything, brother. So I just wanted to bring up the point that, you know, with everything going on in office right now, with the Biden administration and Kamani and all of this stuff, we have to be mindful of our Second Amendment rights as well, you know, because we're going to get disproportionately affected if they ever push their forms of gun control and stuff like that. Gun control is inherently racist, and we need our straps to defend ourselves, so... I think that that should be a big point of discussion with us.
Absolutely.
In our community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all I got, though, brother. Man. I see you dropping hot fire as usual, man. Mm-hmm. Long time fan.
Man, respect, man. Thank you so much, brother. Let me get another call here. What's up? Who's calling?
Hi, my name's Alicia, calling from Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Hey, Alicia.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you, dear?
Hey, doing all right. I just wanted to just make a quick comment. I just want to say that I noticed a lot of the times that when it's Black people going to support other Black businesses, a lot of times we look at them different than if we were going to a white establishment, just like you were talking about, like in the Asian stores and the other stores, you know, how we think of them, because we totally don't respect each other a lot of the time. And I agree with you 100% that they thought that just because it was a Black business, a Black establishment, they could go ahead and disrespect that man's business like that.
Exactly.
And it was totally inappropriate. And twerking is it does not belong anywhere else but in a nightclub somewhere, because that place was really a place for families.
It was.
And
yeah.
I would never have my children around twerking. It's really disrespectful. It actually is really kind of like sexual.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why they thought that would be appropriate in a Black establishment.
Real talk.
But I just wanted to touch on that. I noticed that the treatment, you know, the way we view other people in our own race, we view each other differently. I guarantee those same people would not act up like that in Olive Garden.
No, and not at all. But thank you so much, dear. And what's interesting, a lot of excuses I saw online was, well, the women should have twerked because they were in there playing twerk music. Shit, if you playing twerk music, what you supposed to do? Have y'all heard that conversation online? That dumbass, childlike conversation? I've heard people actually say this online. That was kind of the narrative over the weekend. Well, they playing Juvenile. I'm gonna back that ass up everywhere I go. So, music turns you into a decrepit, uncontrollable hood rat. You just can't control yourself. Once you hear music, you just walk right into the stereotypes. That's the stereotype of the Jezebel hood rat. A Jezebel hood rat is just sexually uncontrolled. They just cannot control themselves sexually. They just have to be skanks. They just cannot control themselves. That's the narrative that they created. This whole thing where if you hear music, you just can't help your damn self. Yes, you can. Because if you heard that same music in a white establishment, you can control yourself. Okay, let's stop it. If you were sitting in a white establishment, you could control yourself no matter what. You know how to act when you get around white folks. Stop playing. White folks, they got the act right serum when you get around them. You know how to act around them. But when you get around Black folks, you just can't control yourself. No. You make the choice to show out because you devalue Blackness, because you devalue yourself. Miss me with that. All the music was crunk. What we supposed to do? The music crunk. We supposed to turn up shit. Turn down for what? Sambo talk. There's Italian restaurants that plays Italian music. You don't see Italians jumping up acting a damn fool. You're not children. We're not goddamn kids out here. This is the problem. We have attention-deprived, attention-starved Negroes who are desperate for some damn attention. It's like grown children, please somebody look at me. Acknowledge me. Just look at me. I'm just going to do the stupidest thing ever. Just if you look at me, I feel like a human. We got to get that mentality out. Once you know yourself, once you know who you are, you don't have that desperation for attention. You got to know who you are. Let me get one more call here. I ain't going to take too many. Well, I'll take a couple of them. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going on, Pop Rich? It's your boy, G-Money.
What's up, G-Money? What city you in, brother?
I'm in Vegas, but I'm from Chicago, brother.
What's up, man? What's going on? What's on your mind?
Oh, man, I got some information I want to share with the family. First of all, you know, I do my history research.
Yes.
And I'm a historian. And I uncovered some information about Chicago in order to take the land from the people of Chicago. They have forged the understanding that DuSable was an immigrant.
Hmm. Okay.
And I think that's real heavy for the family, because that goes into a lot of what you talk about, because they're trying to take our land and our resources. And in order to do that, they are trying to say that immigrants founded a lot of these places.
Right, right. Because DuSable, he spoke a whole bunch of Native American languages. You know, so I'm like,
He spoke a whole bunch of Native American languages, and from the people that lived around him, he was named the Black Chief.
Yeah.
And you cannot be a chief without being full-blooded.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's some history that we're going to have to look into. But thank you for the call, brother. We're going to get some more calls here. As our brother from Chicago, he had to share that. And that was good information, by the way. That's some good information there. A lot of people believe that DeSable was Haitian. There's a narrative on that, but we got to look at all aspects of it. We really got to get into our history, our indigenous side. That's something that we really, really, really going to have to get into. The next movie after Buck Breaking is halfway done. But the next movie that I do is we're going to get real deep into the Aboriginal history of Black people in America. We are not no damn immigrants at all. In fact, our lineage actually goes back here thousands, if not millions of years. That's something that we were the first to touch on it on a national scale in the Hidden Colors 1 and 2 films. And the great thing about the films, we put a lot of information out there so that we could double back and come back and just kind of focus on certain things and really focus heavy. We got so many topics to focus on. I mean, we can just go on for years and years and years based on all the topics for the film. But we need to understand our native Aboriginal lineage on this land. We really better understand how deep that is, so that we don't let people put us in the immigrant box as if we came over from somewhere just like everybody else, because they try to play that game on us. They try to play the, well, we all African, you know, we all came on different ships. We came on the immigrant ship. Y'all came on the slave ship over there. No. Like I pointed out on my broadcast this weekend, family, out of all the people taken from Africa in the slave trade, only 6%, and that's a very liberal number, only 6% came to the area that would become the United States. Some people believe it was even less than that, like 3 or 4%. It was a very, very small percentage of people in the African slave trade who were brought over here. Now, this is either true or it's not true. What is true that has been documented and never talked about in a major level is that many of the people, if not most of the tribes here, were of Negroid features. And this is what the white people said when they saw them. Damn near all of them said this. This is very well documented. But we sit up and let people tell us that the natives here were these Mongolian looking people with an Asian look. And that's just not true. There was different phenotypes over here. So we need to get into that. But we're going to get into that in the next film, heavy. Let me get this one number here. A lot of LA folks calling. What's up? Who's calling?
Tariq Nasheed, what's good? This is Jay Lethal calling in. How you doing, sir?
What's up, Jay? What part of LA you from, brother?
I'm from Inglewood.
Inglewood, up to no good, man. How you doing?
Always up to no good, but I'm living in Houston right now. I'm doing great, brother.
Oh, no doubt.
I just wanted to, I don't want to take too much of your time. I just want to give peace to everybody in the chat. And I really want to give you a special shout out, because everybody knows you're extremely funny. You're very, you know, and when you started off the chat earlier, how you went deep on the Rockefellers and you went even, you know, a lot of stuff people don't know.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate you. First of all, I just want to say that, sir.
I appreciate you tuning in. Now, how old are you, brother? You sound real young. How old are you?
I'm actually 29. I'm actually just, you know, got that little fountain of youth thing going on. But
God damn, you know, man. You're an old young nigga. God damn, what you sound
I'm an old young nigga. Yeah, I got a YouTube channel and everything if you ever want to check me out, brother. But
What's your YouTube channel? This nigga got a walker. Yeah, this nigga got a walker and a baby seat in the car. What's your YouTube channel?
On my Benjamin Button. I'm on my Benjamin Button. But my YouTube is the letter J dash Lethal.
J Lethal.
J Lethal.
Shout out to
J Lethal. Anyway,
go ahead.
Thank you, brother. But let me tell you real quick. I just wanted to say two things, because I made a stream about this particular topic last night, and I went off. So I don't even have to go off. I don't even have to go off right now. But I just want to say these two things that I want to take away from this topic. One is that I don't know. I've been trying to call in, so I don't know if you said this already, but a lot of people were saying, well, they were playing twerk music.
Yeah, I just said that. Yeah, I just said that. How?
Okay.
That's not an excuse. Like, they just have to twerk just because they play twerk music. Like, they cannot help themselves. So, yeah, I already hit on that. But I got some other calls, Jay. I'll talk to you in a minute, brother. Let me get a couple of more calls before I get out of here. But that's Jay Lethal. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Yeah, what's going on, man? This is Sean from Tampa.
Sean from Tampa.
By the way, New York.
All right, what's on your mind, Sean?
Man, I was just listening to you, man, about the ratchetness going on in Dallas. And that brother was sitting on TMZ. He was saying what he needed to say. And, in fact, those women were acting completely crazy with the ratchetness, man. And I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I've been to Dallas. Dallas is a real dope place. And I'm definitely going to hit that restaurant when I go back.
Yes.
Man.
Yes. No doubt, man. Thanks for the call. Man, I love Dallas. Dallas is one of my favorite cities, man. I got to come down there to visit y'all in Dallas. I absolutely love Dallas. I haven't been to Dallas in a long time, too, man. And Dallas, man, is very good to me. Every time my movies come out, it always sells out in Dallas first. Dallas comes out first. We always get the sold-out theaters in Dallas. So Dallas is always represented. And, you know, I want to go down there. I want to go to that restaurant. The True Kitchen. Y'all need to go check out True Kitchen this week if you are out there in Dallas. Y'all need to check that movie out. I mean, not that movie, that restaurant out. I'm sorry, I got movies on my mind. Let me get this one last call. What's up, who's calling? Yo, hello.
Yo, what's going on, Tariq?
What's up, brother? What's your name, sir?
Tony.
All right, Tony, are you taking a sponge bath, brother? You real relaxed, man. Where you at, brother?
Oh, I'm in Jersey.
Okay. All right, can you pep it up a little bit, brother? You sound real relaxed, man. You sound like you're laying on your stomach, brother, and I'm getting a little uncomfortable, man. What's on your mind?
Sorry. Yeah, I was just, you know, calling just to, you know, talk about the twerking thing. And this goes to a lot of people don't understand. A lot of black females, not all, you know, we're not going to generalize all. A lot of black females, you know, is. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of them are like agents of white supremacy, man. And it, you know, it's like they're unwitting. You understand what I'm saying? They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because like you said, when you devalue you don't value yourself, and you devalue other black people. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. 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 Now, where are you from? You know, I hear an accent. And where are you from, brother?
My mom is Trini.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
You know this thing where they say when a black guy makes it, he runs and go gets a white woman?
Yeah.
You know the common thing? A lot of people don't understand, know something special. I'm about to hit you with some numbers right now.
Oh, Lord.
According to the statistics from OkCupid, Match.com, and a lot of those big dating websites, they found out that a black woman is more likely to respond to you if you're a straight white man or biracial black man. Statistically, they found out that black women, there are more black women looking to date white men than there are black men looking to date white women. The only difference is just the white women accept us more. So how do you fix the community where a huge portion of the women are either lusting after criminals, lowlifes, or your enemy, the same white man who's oppressing you? How do you win? I'm not saying this so, you know, we do have that, you know, 20-30% of black women doing right, and, you know, other, they're doing the right thing. God bless their soul, just not them. But like I said, what you mentioned with the Jezebel plantation,
brother, I got it, brother. God damn. Okay, guys, brother, damn. Okay, brother, this is not a booty call, nigga. Damn, brother, what you calling up with all that? I don't know what he was talking about. This nigga's taking a pomegranate milk bath and just rambling. What are you talking about, brother? Do y'all know what he was talking about? I have no idea what he's talking about. Nigga just sitting up talking sultry. No, nigga. No, I don't know, brother. We're not doing that. All right, that's enough. Tonight, okay, that's it for tonight, all right? Because niggas are starting to get a little bit too comfortable. You know, they act like there's a booty call. I ain't trying to hear all niggas just rambling. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Go to officialfba.com to get the Foundation of Black Americans flags. And again, a lot of folks ask about the Cash App. Cash App is $KingFlex818. Ladies and gentlemen, also go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Go to 1804 Movie if you want to see the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. Y'all follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And I'm a holla. Y'all be good.